Stephen Jew here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the Land Business Startup 101, a list of things to do. These topics all this week, they're 101, 201, 301, 401, by huge request. Jill and I last week had a closed webinar for all of our members. Tons of people showed up. Thank you, by the way. And we asked everybody what they want. And they said, you know, we want lists. We want to know how the rest of my career is going to go in this thing, according to you guys.
One of many topics, right? There was a lot that we talked about I'm really happy about. But this week is going to be fun because we kind of structured it like you're a freshman, you're a sophomore, you're a junior, you're a senior. You know, that's the 100, 200, 300, 400, you know, level classes. And then we have Fridays like your master's level. We have a 500 series class.
Exactly.
So, and then next week, I can't even, what is next week? It's probably going to be like philanthropist talk.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be after that?
That's what Land Academy is, philanthropy.
There we go.
No, I don't, you know, that's a great philosophical question. I'm sure we'll talk about it, some version of it this week. And at some point, you know, you get, if you've ever taken a master's degree, I've only taken the first couple classes of a master's degree, and it's like, I learned all this stuff in undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? Like,
that's the same as college, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like your freshman and sophomore, we're prepping our number three kid right now with this whole thing. I'm like, get college credit the same time, silly, because if it counts for high school and it counts for college, you'd be nuts not to.
He just finished his first college class.
I know, your first, 2 years of college, we all know, it feels like I'm in high school still. Like, I just did this.
I mean, he just finished his first summer college class online, and his exact comments were, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is easier than high school. I don't really have to show up. All I have to do is, they gave us all the curriculum. I can work ahead. I got the whole thing done in 2 weeks, and it was a 2-month class. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that. I really think that in the end, a master's degree and then eventually a PhD is all about the professors that you have. And because mm-hmm. that's all I remember about his college is this, not the content at all. Not a single bit.
That's interesting.
I just remember about the maybe 5 or 6 instructors that were great. And the bad one, and some like incidents.
What was it about them? Is it because they wanted to be there? Or is it because they shared real-world experience?
Mm-hmm. I'll answer you.
Okay.
Here's a couple of...
I'm really curious now.
Here's a couple of examples of things that instructors that really left a lifelong impression on me. I had a finance instructor, and the first day of class on the blackboard... This is Michigan State now, so it's an auditorium of 5 million people. It's not like a... It's not Harvard where I would envision 6 or 7 people sitting around in big leather chairs. It's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It was an auditorium full of people, and we walked in on the first day. And on the board, he had written, cash kills companies. Did we ever talk about this?
Nope.
I'm sure I brought it up on the show maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, wait, I do remember. What do you think?
I don't know.
Come on.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
And so... I'm like, what are you talking about? Cash kills companies. So then I go out in life and fast forward several decades later, I'm like, yeah, cash kills, absolutely kills companies. Uh-huh. Companies run out of cash. Perfectly great companies that can end up being Microsoft are underfunded.
You know what I thought you were going to say? Too much cash can kill a company too.
That's true too.
I was going to say, because you throw things, money at the wrong things.
Yeah.
I'm writing a
blog about that exact, we're so far off topic already. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a blog about that exact topic. There are certain thresholds, like how did Jeff Bezos ever get, what pathological insanity is going on? And I don't mean to pick on him, anybody who's a multi-billionaire, why don't you just stop at like 200 million bucks?
That's true.
Because I would have.
Would you?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not motivated.
Okay.
I'm just motivated by freedom.
Oh, got it.
I'm not motivated by like pound my chest, be the richest guy around.
That's very healthy. I'm proud of you.
Anyway, there's all kinds of college stuff that, this week is like college theme.
Okay, got it.
Before we get into the topic though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and I say this in advance, Jill. this comment slash question is, it's longer, but worth it.
Okay, cool. Lucas wrote, I want to share with everyone some thoughts on my current state with my land business, mostly just to get stuff off my chest. I haven't posted in a while because it's been a whirlwind of activity. First, the Land Academy support emails have been perfectly timed. I just got the week 5 email, sellers calling back, which covers handling inbound calls and hate. I have been amazed at the timing of these emails. They come into my inbox almost to the day that it's relevant for me. This has been a huge boost because it tells me that I'm right on track with where I should be. Moving along quickly, but not too quickly. My first week of inbound calls has resulted in numerous emails and roughly 2 dozen calls. About half of those have been hate, which is awful to deal with. That's okay. Between the email and phone, probably 12 sellers interested in accepting offers. This is perfect. I'm finding that my offers made sense from a comp to comp standpoint, but I didn't really factor in the rate of sales in that area, so I may not be able to sell as quickly as hoped. Also, learning a lot about the variance that can be seen between zip codes within a given county. In future mailers, that will definitely be a big part of my pricing process. Super overwhelmed with all the calls coming in over the last week.
You did everything right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You're supposed to be overwhelmed.
Yep. That's what you want. Overwhelmed with people. You don't want crickets. You want activity. You want deals. I simply can't process them fast enough. I love this problem. Struggling to make good contact with title companies, attorneys, and counties. It's tough because I work full-time, so I can't spend much time on the phone. Luckily, my wife has taken an interest and is willing to spend some time on the phone for me. Need to establish a few good relationships here.
I'm going to stop you right
Hopefully
there
one
second.
Of them means with his wife.
I'm going to stop you right here for a second. That's exactly what happened to Jill and I. So when Jill and I met, she was exposed to this whole thing.
Exposed
like to this, radiation. The insanity of buying and selling land and then ultimately the profitability. And so she took an interest in it too. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Exactly.
So, and there's no way you can sit down. Look, everybody finds Land Academy. We don't go find these people. They find us on the internet. If you have ever sat down and explained buying and selling land to somebody who has never really it's never been a thought in their head before that moment, you know how crazy that is.
It's hard.
They just don't, and rightfully so, they don't get it. They don't care.
Yep.
So people, and I think this person's wife here is one of them, needs to see it. They need to see the activity. They need to see the purchase agreements coming back and looking the stuff up on the internet and saying, wait a minute, you're going to buy a $48,000 property for 12 grand? It's really easy to get interested after that point. So if you're listening to this, it's as a compliment to people who are finding us and taking interest in it and seeing it, like mentally seeing it, before it smacks them in the face like a television show.
All right, that's so good. Back to the question. Having to go back and lower some offers with sellers who already accepted my first offer, which isn't fun, but necessary. This is talking about the relationships that we have to do here. Very lucky to have an advanced member take some time to share pro tips and some guidance with me. Landinvestors.com is a lifesaver. I'm excited and looking forward to making an acquisition. I can't wait to share the feeling that I'm going to mess up somehow. Can't shake the feeling that I'm going to mess up somehow. That happens. I hope you can't wait to do it too. Trying to keep focus on the goal. Determined to push through this part of the process. Mailers and data were easy for me.
Good.
Dealing with the people is where I get stressed. Okay. Need a team. Thank you to this community. So cool.
So I thought this was really appropriate for the 101 episode. This is a real life detailed account of this person. It sounds like week 5. And what to experience. And I'm glad the mailers and data part were easy because that's the part that's easy for me.
Right.
And at some point, you're going to need a partner. You're going to want to find a partner because you don't want to do the stuff that you don't want to do.
Or your wife. You never know.
Right.
She might love it. I took to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So partner.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. I'm like, I thought he had one.
Today's topic, land business startup 101. Here's a list of things to do when you start off in the land business. I'm going to read off. Do you have a list?
I have a mental list.
I'm going to read off the exact list in Equity Planner. Equity Planner is a detailed spreadsheet that's included in House Academy and Land Academy 2.0, I think. Yeah, 2.0. Where it keeps you organized. It puts you on a schedule. It's got a calendar of stuff that you're supposed to do or you should be doing and gauging your time frames on that. And then here's a look at, there's a very detailed 15 to 18 unit list, depending on how you look at it. A very simple little baby steps to get you where you need to be to get that first deal done. So let me preface this. This is more information here than horsing around today, really this whole week. Your goal for 101 in the first stages of this is to get a deal done. Get one deal done. I don't care if you screw it all up. In fact, if you screw it up personally, I think that would be better. I think that if you could make a lot of mistakes on that first deal, hopefully not lose any money, I think that, you know.
Figure it all out.
And that's not to say
get it
that,
out of the way.
I think most people make a lot of money and then they're off to the races. I did on my first deal. I doubled my money. But you don't, that's not the point here. My point is not to make money. My point is money's secondary. You just got to get that first deal done. Because at the end of that first deal, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Or something else, you know, or some other thing like, yeah, my job's not that bad, or whatever. I don't know.
Exactly.
So number one, step number one is education. You have to get educated. I can't express this enough. This is not a topic, nor is really any topic. There's something about real estate investment that people think, for some reason, that education is optional.
Yeah.
I think they've watched their parents buy a house, or maybe you bought a house and you know, and sold it for more. And it was like, I didn't have to do any work. The real estate agent did everything. The title agent did some stuff. That's just not the case. This is a whole different situation. This is you're a startup. You're starting your own business or a hobby, depending on how you look at it. So you got to get educated, and I don't care if it's from Land Academy. I personally think, for obvious reasons, we provide the best education on all levels. I truly believe in my soul we are the experts in this space. All the other education out there, I'm not knocking it. In fact, whatever you choose, just make sure you get educated is what I'm saying. At that point, you're going to work your way down the list, this following list. You need to choose a county or zip code, depending on what type of properties that you're buying. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I think we did a show called The Four Types of Businesses. It was last week.
I think it was.
Four types of businesses that you can start. So please go back and look at that. Some of them are very conducive to good zip code mailing, and some are conducive to county mailing. You got to test those zip codes in great detail in what I call, or what the thing that I've created called the red, yellow, green test. So you take counties, line them up against each other, see which ones pass the tests or zip codes. And then pull the data, either pull it on DataTree or RealQuest. Jill and I are licensed providers of both. All our programs show you exactly how to do that in great detail. Scrub the data down, take out stuff like cemeteries and hospitals and US government-owned stuff or city-owned property, things that, like, use common sense test where they're not, if you send an offer to the US government to buy their property, that's just not, that you're wasting the price of a stamp. And get the offer in the mail. We have tools for this stuff all the way down. That's what Offers to Owners is. If you don't know about that, Jill and I own this printing company. Like all of our tools, we were doing it for ourselves for years. Then we just made it available to the public. Then you wait for 2 weeks. So what do you do during those 2 weeks before? This is after, you can jump in here anytime.
No, I'm not really, thank you.
After you get that thing in the mail, and it's 2 weeks until you get that first phone call or something back in the mail or email, knowing that they're responding to your offer campaign. While that's happening, while you're sitting there waiting, you don't watch old episodes of Cheers.
I know what I do.
What do you do?
I get my CRM ready. I'm getting ready for all the, what's going to be the next thing? They're going to call. I want to make sure I'm ready for the calls. I want to make sure I have a place to track the calls. I need to be ready to start. I'm going to practice looking up properties right now, doing my due diligence, so I can make quick decisions when this all lands.
You want to make sure that you have a very simple WordPress website, a .com website. I would heavily suggest using .com versus anything else, because it's really in the search engines. It's natural to the search engines. So get your website set up. And even before the letters go out, you need to have a local phone number to where you're sending the mail and a mailing address. And they can't be temporary. If you live in a house that you know you're not going to live in, or an apartment a year from now, don't use that address. You need to use an address that, here's why, because 20 years from now, I've had the same mailing address for 25 years. It's a box, like a UPS store box. And because for 20 years, you're going to get these letters back. I just got one back. Somebody emailed me personally and said, took a lot to find you, but I really want to sell my 10 acres that you sent an offer on in 2002. Mm-hmm. So you want to, and then as simple as it sounds, now you've got your phone situation set up, your address set up. You want to make sure that you have some type of workspace set up that works for you. You know, some people can put the kids to sleep and work on a kitchen table. I'm not one of those people. what's your work? What's your, I, you know, you spend,
I can do it anywhere. Okay,
here's a little anecdotal break. Jill's been spending a lot of time on her personal workspace. And I've never seen you in all the years we've been working together really take your own workspace and just kind of, I've always wondered this, because you're like, you're an innate interior decorator / want to be comfortable in your environment person.
Mm-hmm. Why now? I have no idea.
Yeah, like you're spending, and I can't spend the money fast enough. She's buying expensive furniture and chairs, and like she's got a white theme going on in her office, and I'm proud of you.
Well, part of it is I'm setting up to do some of my own content and do my own videos and do some stuff that's going to all help all of us. It's not going to be separate from what we're doing, but I'm going to provide more on my own. The other is, truth time, we move around a lot, you know? And I'm like, okay, we're here for a little while. Now I'm going to get comfortable. That's part of it. I don't get too comfortable. I don't want to go out through all the effort and have to take it all down.
Okay.
So that's part of it.
So that's the 2 weeks there. What you want to be thinking about in the back of your head, and don't act on it yet, is forming an LLC somewhere in some state. Separating the money that you're going to use to buy and sell a property into a separate bank account under the LLC name, and then eventually payroll stuff. But you don't have to think about any of that. That has nothing to do with getting your first deal done. I bring it up now because a lot of people come to us and they already own companies. They own some other company. I don't care if it's a dry cleaner or an online retailer like on Amazon or something like that. Those companies are great to do the first one or two or three deals, and if you have payroll or whatever, you can integrate that into that for a few deals. That works perfectly. That was me. We had other companies when we rolled this. I did when I rolled this in. So your phone starts to ring, or the mail starts coming in. You answer the inbound traffic, and you deal with it, and you put it into Jill's CRM. You know, I'm looking at this list. I'm reading this directly from our program.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere in here is CRM. And you know why? Because I H-A-I-G-H-T'd it.
Oh. you just don't like it.
Jill's a CRM expert.
So, yeah.
I'm not. Answer the calls from the inbound traffic. Yeah. And then do your due diligence. Use ParcelFact or NeighborScoop. Again, it's a tool that we developed that we've been using ourselves and just made it public a couple years ago. Check for the viability of the deal. You know, does it have access? Run through your due diligence list. I would go through this in detail, but this isn't the time for that. And make a decision. What do you mean make a decision?
Do I buy it or do I not buy it?
This is a huge issue for a lot of people.
Do I buy it? Do I pass? I hear a lot more passing. I'd like to, can I
for
share?
Sure. For sure.
So I see a lot of people passing on a lot of good deals. And so I want to just get that out there. If you send out, let's just say collectively in a month, if you're sending out 10,000 units, this is a perfect scenario. And I just had two consulting calls yesterday as we talked about this. if you could wrap your hand around this, sit down once a month, scrub down, scrub and get 10,000 units together. Might be different states, definitely different counties, different sizes, whatever, to have 10,000 sellers that you're going to send offers to. And then divide it up into 4 weeks. So it's constant. It's so much easier, by the way, to start and be consistent than to start and stop and start and stop and do that. So that way, too, the only lag time is that first 2 weeks, because now you've got into a system. So once the mail hits for that first area, you know in a week here comes the mail from the next area, and a week here comes the mail from the next batch, and the next batch, and put it on the calendar, be ready for it. But my point with this here is, how many deals should I be pulling out of that? All right, 10,000 went out. So let's say, okay, Jill, that's 2,500 units a week, all right? I think with 2,500 units, kind of what we're at, especially right now, I'm getting 20 to 40 callbacks on each week, at, you know, that's a good average. And then of those, I'm getting, say, two-thirds of them, I get the purchase agreements back. So where am I at? So 20 purchase agreements back, yeah. Let's just say. And then from those, I want to pick, I don't know, five that I'm really viable.
Five to 10.
Five that I'm really interested in. So think about those numbers. So each week I'm doing that many. And then when you dig into them, there's going to be a problem with one or, yeah. You know, or there's, shucks, I didn't realize that guy died and this is going to take 2 months. You know, whatever it is when you get through it. So you should be doing that, those numbers. And I want you to have that volume consistently. I don't want you to come to me and say, Jill, I've been with Land Academy for 6 months. I've done 2 deals. That's too few. I want you to do 2 your first month and 4 your next month and 8 your next month.
If you've done 2 deals in 6 months with Land Academy, there's like 4 or 5 reasons I can tell you right now what happened, mm-hmm. why it's so low. Number one, are you done?
Well, I would say I know what I think it is. Usually you're too picky.
Yeah, I just think that. Well, it's
or you didn't send
this
out
is there's plan. A reason I'm reading down a list that's okay, cool. in the program.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm reading down a list and the reason I stopped here. And there's a reason that Jill has a lot to say about it, because this is a huge issue.
Right.
And it's the root of this bottleneck, let's call it, is confidence.
Yeah.
And there, for some reason, extremely bright people who could have and will have probably most of them an amazing career in real estate investment in some form of it, maybe land, maybe apartments, maybe houses, we don't know, get stuck in this confidence, this little confidence slot,
mm-hmm.
where you're staring at a property, it seems good, you know, you go on the Thursday, on our Thursday webinar, you do, would you do this deal? Jill and I say, yeah, you should do it.
We all love it.
Or we say, this looks like a good deal, but you need to take it to the next step. You need to find out what the usability is, bop, bop, bop. There's 4 or 5 things about the property, and it just doesn't happen.
Right.
Because there's some type of fear that kicks in. You know, maybe you were the last person that got picked in the kickball thing in third grade and you never got over it. I don't know.
Where is that?
I don't know.
Did that happen to you?
I'm sure. I'm sure. So, and way worse stuff. But you just have to get over that confidence thing, and some people will never get over it. That's just all there is to it. I've said this story on the show before. I'll say it again. This is before Joe, a long, long time ago. We were with some family friends. One of them's a nurse, and everybody's having a few cocktails. We were talking about buying and selling real estate, and she said, "How do you know when you look at a property if you should buy or not?" And I said, "Well," and I reeled off just like I'm reeling off a list of stuff right now. Well, if it's this, 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 and this, it's got access, we have money, all the other stuff, comps. She's like, "Yeah, but how do you know?" I said, "Well."
Told you.
You know, I checked all those things, it passed. Then I call it planning and zoning, and I can find, and there's this thing next door, and that, and this one in particular, I really want to buy it because, and then she said, "Well, but how do you know?" And she could never, and she will never.
Get past that.
Never get past it.
Right.
But how do you know? She kept getting more intense about it. But Steve, how do you know you should buy it?
That's funny.
Because I know. And maybe it ends right there.
With what?
Because I know.
Oh, that's what I think. That's how I do it.
How do you know you love Jill? Because I know.
Because I know. So good. Guess what, you should have fired back. That's awesome. Okay, where are we on the list?
So
when we're done, I'm gonna rapid fire a few things at you when we're done.
We got past confidence and we decided to buy a property. We sent it to escrow and they closed the deal. Isn't that funny? You say that sentence like that, Jill.
Yep.
We decided to buy it, so we sent it to escrow and we closed the deal. When in reality,
yeah,
there's threats and gunfire sometimes
with
title
tears.
Companies. Now comes the time to sell the property. So during that due diligence process, you were looking the property up in NeighborScoop. You were trying to calling planning and zoning and finding out all this information to see if you wanted to buy it. Well, you should, in a perfect world, you should be taking screenshots and recording all that stuff, because the same questions that you have when you buy it are the exact same topics and questions that when you go to sell it, the purchaser is going to want to know. And if you got excited about it and it passed all your tests, you need to convey that in the internet posting to the buyer, and they're going to get excited about it and buy it too. It's as simple as that. This requires computer skills and a knack for just like, wow, that's really pretty, or wow, that's an awful posting. Some things you can't learn, some things you can. That's not my forte. So you collect all this information and you post it. Now comes the sales. Again, Jill's expertise kicks in on these last two. You know, what I'm describing is the anatomy of a deal. There's three parts to it: acquisitions, engineering, and sales. I stop at halfway through engineering and Jill takes over. Now we're to sales. So somebody says they want to buy it. What do you do? You know, you've to attract that, let's take one step back. To attract that buyer, you got to get the message out. You know, I used to run my business long before Jill on this concept. Well, it's half the price of everything else. It's got a pretty picture. That's it. I'm going to wait for somebody to buy it. And that didn't work that well. I took it to the next step and finally won. You got to reach the right people, whether it's email, calling, texting, sending out neighbor letters.
Social media.
Yeah, the vast majority, 50% of the time, people within a 1 mile radius of the property that you just purchased are going to buy it from you if it's priced right, because they already own real estate there. That's true with houses and apartments and all kinds of stuff. It's a universal real estate rule that gets really overlooked. So just like when you bought it, you deal with the inbound phone calls and you talk to the people who are interested in buying it, and you stay organized in your CRM about things like that, and you go back to that same escrow company when you found a buyer and sell it for a lot more. That is a to-do list.
Okay.
That is buying a property 101. Go.
Now that we're through, whew, feel good?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not really. Actually, I feel like I had to rush through it.
What was the show? I have a few fun things now. I want to ask you to, as a follow up here, tell me, like, yes, do it or don't do it. Things that people dream up that they need to do at this point in their business.
Yeah. Okay. You mean problems that they create for themselves?
I want to know. Part of this whole thing, land things to do, am I starting up my business? Do I get a fancy logo and spend a lot of money on that?
No, you spend no time on that.
How about business cards?
Nope.
Oh.
This is the 21st century.
How about do I build a VA team or get ready to build a VA team?
No.
Do I think about that, though?
No, we'll talk about that in 202, 303, 404, 505.
Well, do I go out and get a new truck? Because I'm going to be driving around.
Never. In fact, you sell your truck.
Thank you.
You don't go to see the property.
I know. Do I work on my future employee bonus structure?
No. Nope. Is that where it ends?
That's about it.
No, now's
the
time.
What do I do? Okay, well, let me ask you this. Okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate again, all right? I just made $5,000 profit. I paid myself back on everything. I bought a property for $5,000. I sold it for $15,000. Whatever. I put all the money back. What do I do with that $10,000 right now?
Are you kidding me? You save it for new acquisitions.
Thank you. I know the answer. I'm just making it obvious. I'm trying to make it obvious. I don't go on vacation?
Take my family? Jill's applying common sense here. Okay. You know, and I often skip over common sense because I just assume everybody has it. You don't want to, the last thing you want to do when you sit down to start a land business is put financial pressure on yourself.
It's true.
And put this massive time constraint on yourself because your rent's going to be due and you only have 60 days of money left.
Right.
That's almost a sure way to fail.
Thank you.
Whatever job you have, keep it. And do this like the person in the question.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a full-time job for probably, you know, we've said this many times on the show. I quit my job maybe 2 years too late. If I would have quit my job 2 years earlier, I probably would have made a lot more money a lot faster. Seth Williams does a whole thing on this about, he had a government job. Like, I think he was an SBA loan officer or something like that. With a pension
like
and the whole
Fannie
thing.
Fannie Mae stuff or something?
He quit his job. He's like, I should have done this 5 years ago. The first month he paid for like two years of what he was making at his job. Yeah, it was like Fannie Mae or something.
I remember.
So I hope that list was, I know we had to burn through it, but that's a list of stuff to do. And including the question today, a really, really real world feel for what it requires to get this thing off the ground and get that first deal done.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is Land Business 201, where you should be in 2 years. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Thank you for carrying the show today.
Yeah. Do you like that or not like it?
That's always good. Just to sit here and just kind of relax, it's cool. I'm fine with that.
Half of our viewing audience is like, why isn't she talking?
You had a good list of things to cover. I was not needed there. It's all good. And thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please zip over to YouTube and check out our channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button helps to support our channel's algorithm, engage your interest in future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.